right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning, and hope and trust you've had a good week. It's a little cooler this morning, kind of, I guess, a little bit more of a normal morning this morning. We've kind of gotten a little spoiled with some of that warmer weather, but it's good to see everyone this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would. We'll pray here, of course, in just a second before we begin. But if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter number we're going to be in chapter number 8. We're going to be in chapter number 8 this morning. Next week, of course, we'll go to chapter number 9. But we'll look at an important subject here that you'll find that is very important to the ministry. So I'll go ahead and just kind of give it to you a little bit here. Paul, in this chapter and also in chapter number 9, is going to discuss with the church of the Corinthians about the issue of their giving. He's going to talk about their income giving and about their supporting of the ministry financially. And that is going to be the subject of our lesson this morning, and it will also be the subject of our lesson next week as well, and something that is very, very important, and we'll look at this morning. But we'll pray first and ask for the Lord's blessings upon our day, and we'll get right into our lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to take your word, to open it up, to read it, to study it, to discuss the different principles and the doctrines that we find listed here in this chapter. We do pray that you take the ministry of our church here for your blessings to be upon all that is said and done, and Lord, for the church and whatever needs that our church may have this morning, we pray that you would help in supplying those. We do pray for, Lord, our ministry of missions, and Lord, how important that ministry is as well. And Lord, it's all based upon our giving to missions to be able to help support, Lord, different works and ministries around the world to get the gospel to every people that lives on this planet. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do our part in giving there as well. Lord, help us to be good givers here. We pray also that you bless our missionaries, that you would help supply their needs. No doubt, Lord, they have many needs that are very different maybe than ours this morning. But Lord, we pray that you would help supply those needs for them this morning. We do pray, Lord, for our service this morning, the service this evening. We pray for your blessings, your power, your wisdom upon all that's said and done today. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to take what we learn. God, help us to take and use it in our life, that we may be effective ministries of your grace. We pray that you would take those that are lost this morning. No doubt, Lord, there's probably people here this morning that have a lost loved one. Maybe it's a good friend that's lost that need to be saved. We do pray for the lost, that you would help them to see their need of salvation. We pray that you would help us to be a good witness, a good testimony this week. And Lord, help us as we serve and do your will that you have and the purpose that you have for us. And we pray that you'll help us to be successful in that. We do pray that you take the next few moments as we study your word. We pray, Lord, that you would enlighten us, that you would help us to learn, help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're in chapter number 8 this morning, and we'll jump right into the chapter here. You'll find that in this chapter, it's basically going to discuss helping others through our giving, and that's what the chapter is about. Paul is going to use the example of a group of people, the Macedonians, and their church, and he will use them, he will discuss them as an example to the Corinthians and how that they need to be a little bit better in their giving in the ministry. Now, giving to the Lord is very important, and we have to understand and we have to realize that when we give, when we tithe or give offerings, we give that through the church, but we have to understand and realize you're giving it to the Lord. And as you deposit that tithe or that offering into the church, you have to understand that that is being giving unto the Lord. It's important that we give to the Lord. Now, giving can be a very touchy subject with a lot of people. Sometimes people don't maybe accept maybe a message or a sermon or a lesson about giving for whatever reason. Now, I've always kind of come to the conclusion most people that get mad at a preacher for discussing, teaching, or preaching about giving, and the reason they get mad is because they're not giving. I've never found someone who gives to the Lord get mad at somebody who teaches about giving to the Lord. But even beyond that, I think sometimes that it can be kind of a touchy subject with some because of a lot of your, what we would call maybe TV evangelists, that is taking advantage of people and kind of use that, maybe their stardom in life, to convince people to give into their ministry and maybe ask more of them than what would be required. And so maybe some people have a negative opinion about giving based on something like that. Maybe a false teacher or a false preacher, television evangelist or something of that nature is given kind of a dark look, if you would, or an opinion on people about giving. But giving is a part of the ministry. In fact, there's not going to be a ministry without the giving of God's people. Every church, every ministry has bills. Okay, it costs money to operate. I've said this before. Let's see, Grace Baptist Church's electricity comes, is it Kenergy or is it KU? Is it Kenergy? All right, Kenergy. Does Kenergy give us electricity? Not hardly, okay? So the lights that are running and the heat that's running or the air that's running when it's hot is going to cost money, all right? Probably cost quite a bit. Is it more expensive in the wintertime or summertime? In the wintertime? Vicky would know, all right? It would cost more in the wintertime than it would the summertime. And would it be more than $100 a month? Would it be more than $300 a month? Would it be more than $500 a month? Would it be more than $800 a month? So you can see it's going to cost some money to operate, all right? And that's just in electricity. I mean, then there's insurance. There's enormous amount of expense in operating a ministry. So people have to understand that. Now, as a church member and as a child of God, I have to understand it is part of my responsibility to help in this ministry. Not only in just in the tithes, but in offerings and in missions giving. Very important that we become a part of that. Now, in this chapter, Paul is going to discuss and use a group of people as an example that he could use to show this one church that's not giving like they should. And one of the reasons they had some struggles is because of the lack of the giving of God's people. He's going to use them as an example. And then also, he's going to be very careful in how he structures this letter that he's writing here, because he has to be careful that he doesn't come across as someone who is trying to force them to give. Paul makes sure you understand, and you will realize this right off the bat in this chapter here, that Paul is making sure they understand that they are not forced to give. You do not have to give. But it is an act of grace, and he's going to talk about that here in just a moment. We'll get into that. But giving it's not only an obligation on our part, but it's also an opportunity on our part to show our love to God. He's going to discuss that a little bit as well, and how that your giving is a tangible way that you can be involved in expressing your love for your Heavenly Father. And that's what giving is. It's a tangible way, an action that you can perform in your life to show that you truly love God. Now, to preach the gospel here and around the world, it's got a cost that's involved. And it is a great work to be involved in, but it also is a great cost to perform what is required of us as children of God and also as a church. Churches have to pay their bills. I don't think it's right for a church not to pay their bills. And if a church is struggling to pay their bills, then there's something structured wrong. It's either the people aren't giving maybe like they should, and that can be a big problem, or maybe they have outspent their means, and sometimes that can be a problem. Boy, it's a big debate when you get into churches, and sometimes you don't really know what to do. Maybe you need to expand or something, and then you're trying to decide, you know, we need a little more money. Do you borrow some money? Some people have a very strong feeling about maybe borrowing money or not borrowing money from a bank. A lot of discussion about that. But Paul's not dealing with that. Paul's dealing with the individual. Paul is dealing with the church member. and how that you just need to do your part. You don't worry about what so-and-so is or is not doing. You just do your part. Doesn't matter what your income level is going to be. He'll discuss that as well. Doesn't matter if you're rich. Doesn't matter if you're poor. Everybody can be a part, and all God requires of you is just for you to do your part. So Paul is discussing another problem in the church, that is the lack of giving. Because of their lack of giving, the ministry is not what it could be. It's just a known fact, whether we like it or not. You take the area of missions. The more money that comes into missions, the more a church can do for missions. If there is $100 a month coming in for missions, you're going to be able to do about $100 a month worth of missions. If there's $1 million a month coming in, then you're going to be able to do about $1 million worth of missions work in that month in giving to missions. So money's very important. People say, well, you know, I don't think a preacher ever is going to, you know, talk about money and preach on money. Well, you're not going to like Jesus Christ because he preached on money a whole lot. I don't know if this is true. I've never studied it, but I had a man preach one time. I remember a preacher preaching one time and said that Jesus Christ preached more on money than it did hell. Maybe that's true. I've never studied that, but you'll find that Jesus Christ talked a lot about our giving and how that giving comes down to a heart issue in an individual. But anyway, that's what chapter 8 is going to be, and that's what chapter 9 is going to be about next week as well. So we're going to kind of dive into it here and look at some things real quickly. But I do want to stress a little bit that what Paul is discussing here with this church is very important that we take to heart as well. Everybody needs to be involved in doing their part to help out financially in the ministry. And I don't think there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know what that part is. Everybody knows the tithe is what? It's what? 10%, all right? Very, very easy. Boy, 10% is easy to figure out. You can figure that out in about 3 seconds on your income, and it's on your gross income. And to be honest with you this morning, some people complain about that, but we better praise God. God didn't ask for 50%. He asked for 10%. And I've used this example a million times, and I'll throw it back out to you a little bit again this morning. If you were to go to a local store and they have a big banner on the outside, I mean the whole banner on the outside of the store is trying to lure you in, and they're trying to tell you what a great sale they have, everything 10% off, it's not going to impress you very much. In fact, you're going to say, man, that barely takes care of the taxes on what I'm going to buy. 10%, I mean, they're bragging on 10%. I mean, that's hardly a sale. But boy, when you reverse it and ask somebody to give 10% of their income, it's like it's, you know, we're asking for 90%. God's only asking 10%. And that's just the tithe. And then on top of the tithe is offerings. What is an offering? It's above and beyond the tithe. Some people say that, well, I went to church and I gave an offering. I gave $10 to the church. And if you made $1,000 this week or that week, I promise you, you didn't give an offering to God. Okay, you don't ever give an offering until you first meet the tithe, which is 10% of your gross income. Anything above and beyond that is an offering unto the Lord, and I'm not going to get off into a lot of that, nor does Paul really talk about that in this chapter here. But let's get into the chapter here. He says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit." Now, I want to stop right there. When he says, "we do you to wit," that means we want you to know. All right. We want you to know, he says here in verse number 1, he says, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So you have to realize here that Paul wanted the Corinthian church to know about the generosity of the church of the Macedonians. He wanted them to follow their example. He says, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the church of Macedonia, the Macedonians. I'm going to use them as an example, and I want to teach you a little bit about the area of giving. Now, in verse number 1, he does mention the grace of God. Now, let me say real quickly, giving is an act of the grace of God. Grace. We're Grace Baptist Church. We'll often say we're saved by grace.
But do you realize this morning that giving is actually an act that you can actually tangibly give and be a part of the grace of God? Now, we love the grace of God. What a subject to discuss. What a subject to preach on. Everybody loves to hear teaching and preaching about the grace of God. But when you tithe or you give offerings to the Lord, it is an act of grace. And we'll discuss that. He actually is going to talk and refer a little bit more in the chapter about that when you give, it's like the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the actions that Jesus Christ gave in his own life. But we find here he talks about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, I can also say this morning that a giving church will always be a blessed church. Always. A giving church will always be a blessed church. And it will be an act of the grace of God. And he says here that it was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. You want the grace of God to be poured out on your church, then it needs to be a giving church. How do I word this? God is never happy with stingy people. God wants us to be generous. God wants us to be loving and caring and giving and helping. And you're going to find all that listed in this chapter here. But Christian giving is an act of grace. It is motivated also by grace alone. Now, we don't give for applause. Am I correct? We do not give with the thought that I'm going to get something back in return. Because when you give in that manner, that's not an act of grace. That's not grace giving. That's you giving because you feel like you're going to get something in return, or you give because you want everybody to be impressed with your giving and what you give to the church and so forth. Listen, the amount of money you give has never impressed God. You remember the old story. You remember when Jesus Christ was in a church. You remember how he sat down front by the box and they would come by and put money in the box. You remember the woman that gave the least, and he said she gave more than everybody else. I mean, everybody else in the church, they were pretty impressed with the amount that they gave because I'm sure they gave large sums of money. They were trying to impress Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ said that, you know what, you gave out of your abundance. But she gave out of her living. She gave something that, you know what, it's going to be hard for her to live that week because she gave of that amount. So your money amount that you give doesn't impress God. But the amount of money you give God decides what is the tithe. It is how much again? It's what percentage? It's 10%. All right. Now, if you make $1,000 this week, then your tithe is going to be what? How much? $100. You make $500 this week, then your tithe is going to be how much? It's $50. All right. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you make $1,000 a week. It doesn't matter if you make $500 a week. It doesn't matter if you make $100 a week. All God asks of you is that you give your part. What is your part? Your part is always going to be 10%. That's the tithe. Now, there will be times that a church needs something extra above and beyond that. Maybe Brother Richardson comes in and he says, hey, I'd like to, you know, I feel like God would have us to, I don't know, put all new carpet. And he wants pink carpet inside the church. And I don't want pink, but if that's what Brother Richardson thinks and so forth. And he says, you know what, we need to raise $5,000 extra. And how about let's have a special love offering and let's try to raise $5,000. Nothing wrong with that. And there's going to be times when the church may ask of us to give above and beyond our 10%. It may be for a special missions project. It may be that we need new air conditioning units. It, you know, whatever the need may be, if the pastor, which is Brother Richardson this morning, he comes and he says, hey, we need to raise some money above and beyond. And I don't know that since I've been here that he's asked us to do something like that. But if he does, that's perfectly fine. You say, well, then how much do I have to give? That's between you and the Lord. It may be that Brother Jay decides, I'm going to give $500. I believe God would have me give $500. Maybe somebody else in the room that says, you know what, I believe God would have me to give $20. Maybe somebody else in the room that God say, you know, they say, I believe God would have me give $50. Your offering above and beyond the tithe is just whatever God impresses on you to give. But your tithe is never going to change. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'll pray about it. Let me say something. Tithing is nothing that you have to pray about. You can tell you what God's going to tell you when you pray? 10%. If you come to me and say, well, I prayed about it and God told me that my tithe ought to be 5%, it wasn't God telling you 5%. That's a different spirit telling you to do that. And it's not the spirit of God. Because it's already engraved in stone. It's in the Word of God. We know that to be true. Anyway, let's move on here. You'll find in verse number 2 that he, now you remember here, he's talking about a different group of people, the Macedonians. He mentions in verse number 2 how that in the great trial of affliction, their abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. So what is he saying here? They were a very, very, very generous giving church. Very generous. Now it's interesting here in verse number 2 that there's something very important that you need to make sure you highlight or underline a little bit. This group in verse number 2, you say, well, they were rich people. Paul says it's the exact opposite. They were people in deep poverty. So what, you know, what's Paul saying in verse number 2? The people of Macedonia, that group of people, they never gave the excuse. They never said this statement, I can't afford to give. You ever heard people say that? Well, you know, I wished I could give. Right now I just can't afford to give. It's going to shock you this morning. There's not a soul sitting in this room this morning that doesn't have the ability to give something. Are y'all with me this morning? Everybody has the ability in this room to give. You know, it's amazing. Well, you know, I got to get a few things in order. I got a lot of debt that I got to take care of. And let me say this. I'd be more scared of God than my car payment. Now, I'm not saying don't go pay your car payment. But I've always found this to be true. People that just can't afford to give, and the first thing after they tell you that, you know what they're going to do? They're going to pull this out of their pocket and talk on it. They're going to go out, they're going to smoke a cigarette. Am I right? They're going to get into an automobile that's 10 times better than anything we drive. And that's not all, and I'm not saying that's always the case, but I am saying this, we got everything in life. They go home, you know what they're going to do when they get home? They're going to turn on their cable television. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we have, and you know, here, you know, but I, you know, this is a necessity. This is not a necessity. Our cable television's not a necessity. I promise you, smoking cigarettes is not a necessity. It's an addiction. So to say that we can't give, well, I'm poor. You know, and I'm being honest, I cannot remember the last time I met a poor person. You know, what we call poor is not poor. The average person that lives in a housing project, they got a roof over their head, they've got heat going today, they run it 100 degrees if they want it in there. We don't do that. They could. They got air conditioning. They've got television. They've got refrigerators and stoves supplied. They open up the refrigerator and it's full of food. It's hard to find poor people. Now, I'm not saying there's not some poor people in life, but it's hard to find them. And if you actually really find a person that's really, really poor, there's probably some reasons behind that. Usually it's called lazy. Now, there are some people that get injured or hurt, and boy, bad timing on a lot of different things, and they're kind of in the hole for a period of time. But I think we use a lot of excuses sometimes on why we don't give to God. And they're just not going to hold water with God. But Paul says here in verse number 2, this group here that I'm talking about in verse number 2, they were extremely generous in their giving. In fact, they gave, and they are not a rich group of people. They're poor. They're people that you would look at and say, man, they don't really have a lot. And Paul says, but yet they still gave in abundance to the Lord's work. They did not use the excuse of their poverty as a reason of why they can't give. They never had the statement said of them, I'm just too poor to give. They were such an example and so impressive to Paul that Paul said, you know, there were people in that church, in that group of people that were giving, and he probably thought to himself, I don't know how they give, but man, they just find a way to get involved. And Paul tells you here in a second why they were determined that they were going to give and have a part in that ministry. You'll find in verse number 3, he said, look at verse number 3, for to their power I bear record. He says, I'm testifying here, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. What does that mean? It means this. They were actually giving money, finances, if you would, that was way beyond their power. The Bible, Paul mentions here in verse number 3 that they were willing of themselves. The Macedonians, they excelled and went over and above what everyone would have ever expected them to be able to give. Were they a large group? No. Were they a rich group? No. But boy, when you look at their giving, it was very impressive. Now, because of that, they were a very blessed people. God blessed them. God gave them and helped them in ways that were what you would call maybe supernatural. You know the old saying, and you've heard it a million times from preachers, you just can't outgive God. You're never going to outgive God. You'll find in verse number 4, you'll find that it says at the latter part of verse number 4, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. What does it mean? They wanted to be a part. They wanted to help out. They wanted to be involved in the ministry. They wanted to be a part of Paul's ministry. They wanted to be a part of starting new ministries. They wanted to be a part of preaching the gospel in other areas. And so they wanted to make sure that they gave of their finances to be a part of the ministry. They wanted to be a helping hand, if you would. That was their desire. That's why they gave. You know, I guess people give for a lot of different reasons. I guess one of the reasons we give is because we're supposed to, we're told to, and that's a good reason to start right there. It's nothing wrong with someone saying, let me tell you why I tithe and why I give, because God tells me to. That is a correct answer. Now, somewhere along the line, it probably goes from I give and tithe because I'm instructed from God's word to not only that, but I also give in my tithes. And I don't like the word giving. I don't know that giving's correct when you tie it in with tithing. But when I submit my tithe, I go beyond saying that I do it because I'm instructed from God's word to not only that, but also saying I want to give because I want to be a part. I want to help out. I think everybody in this room's had times where it may be a missionary that comes through and, boy, gives a message, maybe discusses a little bit of his needs and the ministry and so forth. And, boy, God just impresses on your heart, I want to be a part. I want to help out in that. Maybe it's $100. God tells you, give him $100 and so forth, and you give it gladly. Why? Because I want to be a part of that. I want to help out. I mean, that's a ministry that's very worthy. And boy, what a cause and what a need. And boy, how many souls could be saved if we could maybe help out in somebody's ministry. And boy, you're glad to do that. That's this group. The people of Macedonia, they not only gave because they were instructed by God's word to give, but they gave because they wanted to be a part of that ministry. I want to have a part. I want to have an investment in something like that. I want my money. And you know, and there's so many things that we could say this morning. You know, money is interesting. Money, you gain money. You know, actually, money is your time. It's your life. I mean, if you were to go work a 40-hour-a-week job and you make $100 that week and you give your $10 as your tithe and maybe you give another $10 for something else and you know, that money that you give, that's part of your life. You gave 40 hours of your life that week to make that money to give back into the Lord's work. There's a lot of ways that you can kind of look at it, but I'll move on here. Let's see here. We're in verse number 5. You'll find in verse number 5 that when people gives themselves to God, their money's always going to follow. Let me make this statement. How do I word this one? God does not want, nor does God need our money. It's not our money. It's not your money God wants. You know what God wants? God wants you. But God also knows, hey, when you get an individual, when God gets an individual wholeheartedly unto him, his pocketbook's always going to follow. I had a preacher tell me one time, and in fact, he preached a missions conference for me one time, and he told the congregation, he said, "You let me go through your checkbook, and I'll find out where your heart's at." A lot of truth to that. You go look through your checkbook, and you'll find out where your heart's at. You know, if you go through your checkbook month after month after month, and boy, there's house payments are made every single month, the car payments made every single month, the credit card bills made every month, cable television's listed in there every single month, eating out's listed in there every single month, and there goes month after month after month, and it's got this same pattern to it, but you never find anything written out to the Lord's work. Your heart's not in the Lord's work. It's true. You study a person's checkbook, and you'll find out exactly where their heart and desires are in life. But somewhere in that checkbook, it ought to be somewhere listed. Now, I'm not saying everybody writes a check. Some people may pay in cash. I'm just using it as an example. But I promise you that you'll find that somewhere down through there, there ought to be some times where we're given to the Lord. Some people get paid weekly. Some people get paid every other week. My pay structure is totally opposite of all that. My wife's grinning. Mine's usually about every 3 months I get paid. So it doesn't matter when you get paid, whether it be weekly or biweekly or monthly, or, you know, maybe you work for yourself and your income is sporadic and so forth. It doesn't matter when you get paid. It's just when you get paid and you look at that paycheck, you got to realize what an opportunity to be invested in God's work. I mean, we have investments. You may be invested in a retirement account. You may have maybe invest in the stock market or something of that nature for the future, and all that's okay. But you've got to ask yourself, but what am I investing in God's work? And Paul says, hey, let me tell you something about these Macedonians over here. They give because they want to be a part of the ministry. It's not that they're giving just because they're supposed to give. They give because they want to give, and they want to give and be a part of the Lord's work. So in this chapter, you'll find that Paul is just discussing the act of giving. For instance, I use a Scofield Bible here. In chapter 8, the little subheading underneath there, it says part 2, the collection for the poor. And then below that, it says the example of Macedonia. That's exactly what this is talking about. He's using them as an example of their giving, and they were giving to help out the poor. There were a lot of very needy people in the ministry and so forth, and they wanted to be a part of that. But let me move on. Now, beginning in verse number 7, Paul is talking to and about the Corinthians, if you would. So you got to understand who he's not talking to the people of Macedonia in verse 1 through 6. He's just using them as an example to the people or the Corinthians, if you would. So you got to kind of understand that. So in verse number 7, he says, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence and your love to us." And it's interesting here, verse number 7, the Corinthian church abounded in gifts. They were a very gifted people. They were a very blessed people, if you would, in a lot of areas. They just weren't very good in giving. They were good in a lot of things, but they lacked in the area of their giving. Paul wanted them to abound in the grace in the area of giving. It was an area they struggled with. It was an area that they did not succeed. It was an area that they lacked in. Now, they succeed in a lot of things. He talks about it. He said, you succeed in faith and utterance and knowledge and diligence, and there's a lot of good things about you. But, hey, there's an area you're lacking in, and it's in the area of giving. May I say this morning, if you struggle in the area of giving, it's because there's some areas of our life that we just need to turn over to the Lord. We just need to maybe trim back in some areas of our daily living. It may be that if we're not giving like we should, and we're not tithing like we should, and we're not doing our part, then maybe we need to trim back. You say, well, I just don't know where I can find the money to give. I promise you, if you go look through your checkbook, you'll find some ways. You'll find out that there were too many McDonald's trips or too many Silver Star trips or too many trips to here and there and too much cable television and too many cell phones and on we go. I promise you there's some ways we can trim out and find some ways to give. Now, if we're not giving, it's because there is a heart problem. And Paul discusses that. And Paul's not mad. Paul is careful in how he structures this. He doesn't want to be accused of making them give. That's why he talks about grace so much. It's not an act of forcing them to give. It's just encouraging them to do their part according to, you know, because of the grace of God that's bestowed upon them. Verse number 8, you'll find that he talks about how that true giving must be that which comes from the free will and from a free heart. And that's where Paul gets into this scenario where he's making sure they understand. I'm not making you give, Paul says. I can't force you to give. I can't make you give, nor do I want to make you give. Your giving ought to come from a free heart and from a free will. You give it freely unto God. I do not remember ever here where Brother Richardson came to the pulpit and says, you're not leaving till you give. I think I remember one time in a church, and they were a little bit different, a camp meeting. And a preacher got up there, and I think he wanted to raise $7,000. He said, we're going to shut the back doors till we get $7,000. I thought, we may be here all night long. Now, I don't truly agree with that concept because that's almost getting to where you're trying to force people to give. I don't think you should have to force God's people to give. God's people have to give freely. Would you feel comfortable going to a church where you felt like you have to give and they're going to check up on you, and if you don't give, they're going to call you next week or send you a text or an email or a letter, you know, hey, man, what's wrong? You didn't give last week. You're not going to go to a church like that. But then on the other, I mean, there's some religions that actually teach that your salvation is based on your giving. And that's totally wrong. That's a false doctrine. You don't ever teach and preach that you know, you give X amount of dollars and so forth, and God will, you know, build you a home in heaven or however they, I don't know how they structure how they teach sometimes. I know that a lot of times the Catholic Church, they talk a lot of, and they tie in your giving as a works, and your works is what gets you to heaven and so forth. I've got news for you. You can give $1 million today, and I bet Brother Richardson will cash that check, but that's not going to get you into heaven.
You say, man, I wished I had $1 million I could give. You know, God's not wanting $1 million from you. You know what God wants from you? Just you to do your part. I truly believe this, that if God's people just do their part, churches aren't going to have financial problems. Now, there are times when ministries can struggle because, you know, is there any liens on any of the property? Is it debt-free, the property debt-free? Okay, it's debt-free. All right. That's a pretty good place to be. Me personally, if a church need to go borrow $30,000 to help build a building and so forth, I'm not saying that's wrong. If it's where the church can sustain that. And then there's the scenario, well, maybe we can sustain it this week, but what if half of them leave next week? Well, you know, there's a lot of ifs in life that I can't answer. And there are going to be times in the ministry where it is a struggle to make ends meet. I think sometimes it's actually good for churches to barely get by financially in the church. It'll make you rely a little bit more on God. Sometimes when there's a lot of money in the bank, you don't even think about praying for money and for paying the bills. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's good to have to pray for some very specific needs financially in a church. It's not a comfortable place to be, but sometimes it's not always bad to be in that spot. But if people would just do their part, and that's all God asks. And it doesn't matter what your income is. Here's something great about God. You can make $50 a week and still have a part in the ministry of God. Now, if you make $50 a week, your tithe is how much? $5. Another person sitting on the same pew made $1,000 that week. Their tithe is how much? All right. Is 100 more than 5? All right. It's more in your eyes, but in the eyes of God, they're equal. The $1,000 a week person versus the $50 a week person are on equal ground with God. Listen to this. The $5 that person gives is going to go just as far as the $100 that the $1,000 person gave. Because as I said, God really doesn't need your money. You think God's poor this morning? I mean, do we really think that God's up in heaven, you know, biting his fingernails? What in the world am I going to do financially? I promise you, God's doing okay. There's not a thing in this room God doesn't own this morning. So then why in the world would God have me to give? Because God wants to know your heart. Where are your priorities in life? You see, giving ties into so many areas of life. It reveals your love for God. It will reveal your faith and trust in God. Oh, I'm living by faith. Really? I really have a hard time sometimes when people talk about, you know, I'm just living by faith. Are you? Let that corporation not pay you this week. We'll see how your faith's doing. Giving reveals your love for God. Giving reveals your priorities in life. Because if you give this excuse, well, I can't afford to give, it's because your priorities aren't right. You got to structure life where it comes first. The Bible talks about your tithing. It should be of the first fruits. It's on your gross. You'd be amazed how most people don't even know what their gross income is. You see, your gross, it's before Donald Trump gets his part. But anyway, that's another subject. We'll move on here. Verse number 8, you'll find here, as I mentioned to you, Paul is discussing how the giving is... it must be that which comes from a free will and a free heart. It's not something that the ministry makes you give. The church doesn't maybe set the guidelines and forces you to give. It's of a free heart and of a free will. You'll find that in verse number 9 that Paul is going to use the example of Jesus Christ. He says, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through yet through his poverty you be rich. And that's talking about spiritual matters here. Their giving was to follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. He uses Jesus Christ as an example. He uses the people of Macedonia as an example. He's using these examples here to help the church of the Corinthians to understand you need to improve in your ability and your of your giving under the ministry. He said, you succeed in all these other, in verse number 7, he says, you've got all these gifts, you excel at that. But you're lacking in the area of giving. And when you lack in the area of giving, it's going to affect a lot of areas of the ministry. Whether we like it or not, a church can only do, in a lot of ways, what we're able to do financially. Finances does have a degree of limits on what maybe a ministry can do, okay? I'll skip down here a little bit to verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. In verse number 12, God does not expect people to give what they do not have. That's, you know, God doesn't just say, okay, you know, I think I'll just make it straight across the board. Everybody every week, if you everybody gives $300 a week, we'll be just fine. God doesn't do it that way. God bases what you give in your tithe. What your tithe is, it's based on what your gross income is. God's not asking you to give the tithe out of what you don't have. If you make $100 a week, the tithe is $10. If you make $50 a week, your tithe is $5. If you make $1,000 a week, your tithe is $100. What's God saying? The tithe comes out of what you do have. And I said, you know, God doesn't expect people to give out of what they don't have, but I will say this, however, God does expect me to give out of what I do have. That's where a lot of people get in a lot of trouble. You know, and I'm done. My time's out. But, you know, giving is very important. I don't think there's anybody in this room this morning that doesn't understand the concept and the principles of tithing and giving. I mean, I think what we would call mature people this morning, mature Christians, and we understand the importance of giving. But, boy, sometimes you just got to kind of, you know, do a reality check on ourselves a little bit and find, you know, am I doing what I'm required to do, what I'm obligated to do as a believer, as a member of this church? Am I doing my part? You know, what is my tithe, what it's supposed to be? You know, do I give anything above the tithe? And we only discuss offerings this morning, really, and Paul's not really discussing that, but he is discussing the area of giving. And he says, you know what? You as a church, he said, you're lacking in the area of giving. We've got to shore this thing up. We've got to improve this. If we're going to have an effective ministry, we've got to have everybody doing their part, is what Paul is saying here. And what is that part? Paul says it's, you know, that it comes from a free heart, a free will of an individual. And Paul was very, very specific in making sure that he wasn't criticized in trying to come across as forcing them to give. He wasn't forcing them to give. He was just telling them, you just do your part as God has given unto you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your time that you've given to us today. And God, we realize that life is a gift from God. And God, today is a gift from you, and we thank you for that. We pray for your blessings on the service this morning. We pray for Brother Richardson that you would bless him, that you would give him wisdom, give him power, give him strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.